Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Parents, don't antagonize your children in such a way that they're angry, that they're mad, that they're violent, that they're seething, that they are upset all the time, they're pouting. And when parents decide that their fun, their privilege, their lifestyle, their agenda is more important than building the right stuff in their sons or daughters, so many times they become passive.
The truth is, sitting on the sidelines as a parent just won't cut it for your kids. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Thou Shalt Not Be a Passive Parent, where he shares proven truth to help you actively engage in the lives of your kids. That message is coming up next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you The Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Not Be a Passive Parent.
Genesis 25, 27 through 28. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful man, living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Let's prepare for the teaching of his word. Our Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for so much, perhaps for too much. Make us stewards. Remind us that we're not owners of all the blessings you give to us. Lord, you speak now and let me get out of the way so that thy word exclusively may be heard. And Lord, give us ears to hear as we've never heard before. And give us minds to comprehend as we've never comprehended before. Speak true truth to us. And may, Father, in our heart of hearts, we sing, it's not my brother or my sister or the deacon or the preacher, it's me, O Lord. Speak to us individually. Let me get out of the way so that thy word might be heard. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Isaac, the biblical patriarch, was a passive father. It's hard to say anything more indicting than that. Isaac was a passive father. He and Rebekah had twin sons. One son was his favorite, one son was his wife's favorite. The turmoil of the house was sibling rivalry. And they fought and they debated and they deceived. They lied. Duplicity was the order of the day. Isaac was an intelligent man, but he was passive. He did nothing. It even gets worse as passivity is handed out from one generation to another generation. Because his son Jacob had more children and more damage was done, because with all of his children, there was this still father who was passive in being the spiritual leader and lover in the home. And therefore, in Jacob's family, there was incest, rape, murder, deception, sibling rivalry. They got to the extent that one set of brothers sold one of their brothers as a slave. And over, you read in the Bible that Jacob knew about this and he commented on it. Jacob realized this was going on, and it would say that, you know, he spoke to his children. But so many times these things happened and Jacob was aware of them. And the Bible says Jacob did nothing. If you are a father and you are passive, I don't know I could say anything much worse about you. A passive father. I'm not talking about being an introvert or an extrovert. I'm not talking about personality types. I'm talking about a father, and for that matter, parents who are basically passive. Now, what do you call parents who are passive in the bringing up their children? I think you could call them parents who operate and who parent under the curse. And that's exactly what Isaac and Jacob did. They parented under the curse. You say, what in the world's a curse? Let me go back and remind you. We have to go back always to our moorings, to beginning, to our foundations. In the book of Genesis, you have Adam and Eve, and God said, you can eat anything in this garden you want to eat except that fruit from the tree that stands in the middle of the garden. You can eat everything else in all the pristine world. You can enjoy everything else in all the pristine world. You have total freedom and liberty, but you can't eat of this one tree. It's like trying not to think about a hippopotamus for 30 seconds, isn't it? You can eat of everything except that one, oh, that one tree. Trying not to think about a hippopotamus for 30 seconds is impossible. But you know what happened? Satan came, and for the first time, Satan told the truth. He said, Adam and Eve, if you eat of the fruit of that tree, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what happened. They ate of the fruit. They had the knowledge of good and evil. You know what that means? It means that they took upon themselves the position of God. They decided that they would run their own life. They would control their own life. They would call their own shots. They would make their own decisions. And that's what all sin is about. That's what that first sin was about. The issue before you and me always is one of control. Will I run my life or will God run my life? It was control. And that is what the curse is all about. That is what original sin is all about in the practical outcroppings of it. It's a matter of control. Therefore, we see Isaac and Jacob parented and were basically passive parents because they wanted to control their own life. They wanted the freedom to do their own thing, and they were not willing, listen to this, to pay the high price of building the right stuff into their children. Parenting is hard work. It's a lot of things, but I guarantee you one thing, it is hard, demanding work. And when parents decide that their fun, their privilege, their lifestyle, their agenda is more important than building the right stuff in their sons or daughters, so many times they become passive. And passivity is described in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, to wrath. And literally the word for father there in the Greek can mean parents. Parents, don't antagonize your children in such a way that they're angry, that they're mad, that they're violent, that they're seething, that they are upset all the time, they're pouting. And that happens when parents become passive because they are parenting what I call under the curse. Now, what rationale could any mom or dad give for not being spiritual leaders and not being real parents to their sons and daughters? How can anyone stand up and look in the mirror and face life when they are passive as parents? How do you do that? I thought about that a long time. I think it's because so many parents in the 21st century have bought into various myths. And the first myth is the myth of the good-bad child. And by the way, this myth is built into the American lifestyle, the good-bad child. You know what I'm talking about? It's the part Mickey Rooney played in Another Generation, the good-bad child. It's the Mark Twain. It's the Buster Brown. It's Dennis the Menace. They're bad, but they're so cute and they're so good. You know, they're bad and good at the same time. So we've bought into this myth that children are both good and bad, and don't worry about it. It'll work itself out, because this leads us to a second myth that passive parents fall back on. And that's the myth of natural goodness. Do you hear people say, oh, I think everybody's basically good? You know, I think we have to be taught how to do that which is wrong. We have to be taught how to go down the wrong path. Everybody is basically good. Haven't you heard that is a myth that has been proclaimed and propagated all the way through our culture? And so we say everybody's basically good, and children are strong, and they're, you know, they can bounce back. And so just don't mess them up. Let them kind of flow through life. We'll just back up and let nature take its course, because every child, every person is basically good. That's a myth. It's a myth. And that leads us to the third myth that passive parents, I think, fall back on. And that is, who am I to impose my beliefs on my children? Heard that one? You know, this should be a democracy, and children ought to go their own way. And who am I to try to impose my beliefs upon my sons and upon my daughters? Now, let the media pour their beliefs, let the culture inculcate their beliefs in them, and let their friends, you know, tell their lifestyle. But parents, by all means, don't mess up your children by trying to pour your belief and your lifestyle into them. That is a myth. But that's happening all around us. Passive parents. Passive parents. And so many times, passive parents say things like, we can't afford that. And they give no explanation. They just say, we can't afford that. Or they say something like, sit down and be quiet. Jim Deloach thought that was his middle name until he was 12. Sit down and be quiet. See, that's what parents say. Sit down and be quiet. And we say, I'm tired. And by the way, those three phrases, they took a national poll, and you know how accurate they are. They took a national poll, and they said, that's the three statements that the kids said they hear most from their parents. Sit down and be quiet. We can't afford that, and I'm tired. Now, we use all those statements. I've used every one of those statements. They're good statements. But we just state them and let them stand alone without giving an explanation or rationale. You see, we withdraw from their life and we become passive. Passive parents is a deadly, deadly thing. The other side of passivity is we become possessive parents. And this flips out in so many very, very interesting ways. Possessive parents sometimes become overly lenient. Let me tell you how this plays out. So many times in families where there's been a divorce, usually the mother has custody of the children, right? Normally. And the father has visitation rights, maybe for a weekend, every other weekend, and maybe they can keep the child for a summer. What happens when this father, who in all probability has run off little girl who worked down the hall in the office, who was so cute, And he fell in love for the first time in his life. You know, he didn't fall in love, he fell in lust, but that's neither here nor there. He divorced his wife. Getting too close for anybody here? I hope so. It happens all the time. And here's the result with the children. They become ping pong balls in the divorce. Now, what happens is the father keeps the child for a month in the summer, and the father takes them to theme parks. The father gives them money. The father gives them clothes. The father gives them toys. The father entertains them. And I'm telling you, that child says, boy, my daddy is great. And then the child goes back to mother with school and homework and clothes and decisions day by day. And mother says, I'd better be lenient with this child because they love their daddy so much. Overly lenient. Now, let me tell you something. Malachi says, God is speaking, God hates divorce. He does not hate those who have been divorced. He hates divorce itself. And if you are divorced and there are still children in play, you sit down under God with your former mate and you do business intelligently and biblically about the rearing of those children. Forget your pride. Forget you want your children to think mama's right or daddy's right or someone else is right. Sit down and do it right, because the end result is so many times the father and then the mother is forced to be overly lenient. And guess who pays the price? The children. The children. And another thing, this is the other direction of a kind of passivity that's built in here. Not only being overly lenient, but being overly strict. Dot every I, cross every T. Overly protective. And that leads into be overly involved. Your daughter's a cheerleader in junior high school, and she cheers at all the games, and you go to every game, the soccer meets, the basketball, the football, the tennis, the thing, and all of a sudden, you're overly involved. Every time a parent can go in homeroom, every kind of parent can show up, you are omnipresent with your children. You never let them move very far until mom or dad is there hovering. Now, don't get me wrong, we need to be involved, but you can be overly involved. That's the other extreme of this. So the bottom line here is when we're parenting under the curse, when we're parenting on the basis that we are going to live out our lives vicariously through our children, or we're going to let our children go their own way and do their own thing because we want to have our own happiness and our own pleasure and pursue our own vocational interests, this is when we are parenting under the curse. We are provoking our children to wrath. We're provoking our children to rebellion. We're provoking our children to go in the opposite way that God has bent them, as the Bible says. That is parenting under the curse. Now, how do you parent with grace? That's the rest of Ephesians 6:4. Bring them up in the admonition, in the discipline, in the teaching of the Lord. That's how you parent with grace. And that's an important thing. And the secret of that I call the AAA. How many of you belong to the American Automobile Association? You're a member of AAA. Would you lift your hand? You know, I belonged for years and years, but every time I had a flat tire, I'd look and I was about 2 months overdue from paying. Anyway. Let me give you parents AAA. If you're going to parent with grace with your sons and daughters, there are three A's, AAA, you need to nail down. First of all, there is affirmation. You've got to affirm your children, especially dad. You know, the parents figured out pretty early that there's a relationship with mom that's sort of supernatural. See, mom carried them for those 9 months. But dad can kind of back up. We've got to affirm them, that we are proud of them, that we love them. They are special. And you can do this at night, dad. Go by the bed and hug them and kiss them and stroke their hair at all ages and say, I want you to know I'm proud of you. You're special. You're just exactly what I would have ordered if I could have written out a prescription for you as God gave them. Affirm your children. Eddie Cantor, the last generations, as he looked at a list of the FBI's 10 most wanted, he said, those who are on that list would not be among the 10 most wanted if they had been wanted when they were children. Let your children know that they are wanted. Affirm them. Build them up. Encourage them. That's what we're to do. Also, we are to appreciate them. They need appreciation. There's not anybody here that does not need affirmation and appreciation by significant people that we look up to or significant people that we know. Everybody needs that. And especially through these little miracles that God has entrusted us with. They need appreciation. I always enjoy, we have our concerts here. We have, I remember so many little children singing, teenagers and preschoolers singing. And I remember it's great, particularly when the preschoolers sing. We'll have 200 or 300 up here at a time, and they'll walk up and, you know, they're free agents. I mean, they just do anything. It's some experiences up here. They line up all the little preschool, you know, all your sons and daughters. And they sit there and they present their little concert. And by the way, I sit up here usually. I don't try to watch the kids. I watch their parents. You are a much better show than the kids. It is great to see the dad there say to the son, the mother say, you know, they're just a multiplicity of signals that you're giving all these little ones up here, and they're looking and they're waving and they're walking around. I mean, they're having a big time. They don't know anything about me, and it's a show to watch you.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Isaiah 50:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Imagine you're with a group of people hiking the wilderness. As darkness falls, we realize our group is lost. We know the way home is north, but no one seems to know which way that is. After much disagreement and discussion, a quiet member of the group finally steps forward and, with a compass of all things, now I don't know about you. We may have voted on what was north or south, we may have argued about it, but when somebody steps forward with a compass, I'm going to follow that guy. There's a lot of confusion and concern about the direction our culture is taking. What was once good is now considered evil, and what was evil is now deemed good. God's Word is a compass that will keep us every time on the right course as individuals, as a nation, and as a church. So avoid the confusion of a misdirected culture and trust in the truth of God's Word. His compass always points us to Jesus, our true north.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling, so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear proven truth from Dr. Young on practical ways to engage the children God has entrusted to you.